We were watching a little bit of Christian television at the house today, and sure enough, I was waiting for it. They were taking up, it was one of those telethons. And when I sowed my first $1,000 seed faith offering, why, it wasn't even 5 years later, I paid off my $750,000 church. Well, I can't promise you God's going to give you $1 million. I can promise you, if you want to sow into DHM, we'll let you. Yeah. I can also promise you that if you sow into this fertile soil, you'll be blessed. But I didn't come to raise an offering. I came to say that if we're faithful stewards over everything that God gives us, He's faithful to every one of our needs, even if it's a coupon that is never sent out with somebody's name on it, that has never darkened the doors of a business. Let's talk about God. I believe God wants to make provision in your life, but there are things that have crept into the church that He's not pleased with tonight. There are things that while we've been asleep, and some of us have been very asleep, we've been so asleep that demonic things have crept into our church. How many of y'all ever heard, "Oh, I just don't get good vibes"? What? That language don't belong in the house of God. Oh, send good feelings this way. I sense a positive aura. That language don't belong in the house of God. My spirit didn't bear witness with their spirit. That's God-given language. And the world has come to the place with the church where they want to shame us into conforming to their language. They even made up a whole generation or termination of the way that we talk, and they call it Christianese. Christianese? What are you talking about? I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about. I speak like I've been to the throne room of grace and my life has been changed. And if they can't handle that, that's called conviction and they need to get something right. But I don't need to change to make them feel more comfortable. Yeah. Jesus said, if they were offended by me, they'll be offended by you. Get used to it. It's really what he said. He said, they didn't receive me. They're not going to receive you. Boy, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Brother Mike, I don't like that. You know what? Brother Mike don't like that, but watch this. Matthew chapter 15. This is nothing new that's going on in the church world today. It's happened since the days of Christ, and He even warned us against it. I talked about walking into 5 or 6 sanctuaries in 1 year. They were painted black. And I thought, am I walking into the light of the world, or am I walking into just another rock and roll praise show? I don't mind what style of music you're doing. I can worship God just about anywhere, but I want to make sure that God's in what you're doing. When I walk in and you strike that first chord, I want to feel the presence of God. Otherwise, I'm just watching a good show. I'm watching talented musicians perform. And we've come to this place because we went out and instead of praying them in, we've hired them in. I would have a lousy band before I'd hire any one of them. And there are days we're lousy. Tonight when I hit that wrong chord and Vicky stepped up there way too high, and I was like, honey, the Lord is not up there smiling right now. We might as well stop and step that down into your key. And boy, it was pretty after that, wasn't it? It was pretty before. I love to hear her sing. And I was half tempted. That little redhead in me kind of said, go on. But though you guys probably didn't catch it, I caught a look that said, you better not. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Watch that. Tradition of the elders. There are things we do in church that don't line up with the Word of God. We do it because they're tradition, not because they're Scripture. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Uh-oh. I wonder how many of us just go through things because it's tradition. We preach sitting at the table with God here last time we were here, and I know some of you were way out of your element. Did Brother Mike ask me to come and take communion on my own? Yes, I did. Not as a body, but as an individual before Christ. Why? Because communion isn't just a whole body experience. It's a personal experience. And we get so used to doing it the same old way every time, to some of us it loses its effectiveness. Because we haven't reached that level of maturity in the faith. It's a tradition. Brother Mike, that's also scripture. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But where it moves from tradition into relationship is when it becomes personal. Does that make sense? We need a personal communion with Christ on a regular basis. And I dare say that's even outside this church. Can I take communion at my own home? Not only can you, but you should. Sit down at your table with that little wafer and that little glass of juice or wine or whatever you want to do. I'm not even going to go there. But you sit there with the vine and the bread, and you sit there before God and you just listen and wait on Him. And then quote the scripture. Your body needs to be reminded that the scripture says, this is my body. And as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. This is my blood, and as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Then it moves from tradition into relationship. The world needs not our religion. It needs our relationship. The world needs not our tradition. It needs our relationship. Why was Jesus effective? Because he had relationship first. For God commanded, saying, verse 4, honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. In other words, you know what? I went ahead and I gave a gift to the church in the family name. It's what he's saying in modern day English. Watch this. And honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Why? The scribes and Pharisees said because he gave a gift to the church, that gift brought his freedom. Boy, that's interesting. Talk about bribing God. How far off are some of us from that? Brother Mike, preach, don't meddle. Thus have you made the commandment of God no effect by your tradition, you hypocrites. You know, there's going to be a day when each and every one of us is going to stand before God. And he's going to say one of two things. He's going to either say, you know what, Mike, you know what, Matthew, you know what, Jesse, you know what, Ron, and you know what, Evan, you know what, Jim, I'm really proud of the work you did for me. Come on in. Come home, boy. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Or he's going to say these words. You compromised my gospel. You preached numbers and money. You took time without respect of me to preach what was traditionally popular within your culture. You know what? I don't even know who you are. Go serve your other father. It wasn't me. I don't know where you're going to be on that day, but I came tonight to ask you one question and one question only. Has the traditions of men crept into your heart and you've accepted them of gospel? Or are you standing on the pure, unadulterated word of God that never changes, that never fails, that never falters? Hallelujah. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How many of y'all ever been in a church other than this one to a worship service and you walk away more empty than you went in? There's a reason for that. Some people don't know what it's like to have a relationship, and I'm glad I'm not in a church like that this evening. But I'm saying when we start accepting these other things for the sake of numbers in the house of God, we open ourselves wide up just to say we're going to be seeker-sensitive or seeker-friendly. I was once in a service with Russell Frege. He's the co-writer of the song Shout to the Lord by Hillsong. Russell Frege said this to me. You'll love this, Grandma Patty. We've got to take the cringe element out of the church. That little old lady that gets up there and can't sing, you can't let her sing. That brother or sister that gets up there in a suit and tie because it makes somebody feel uncomfortable, and all I said was, you're an idiot. I can't tell you how many services I've been in where grandma couldn't sing a lick, but the power of God moved through a willing vessel. And if we would have cut her off from the ability to minister her gift before God or just give to God everything she had as an offering, if we'd have cut her off from that, we'd have missed a move of God. Removing the cringe element. You know what I cringe at? Stupidity gone rampant in our pulpits. I'm not saying you got to wear a suit and tie to represent God. We do. We like it. Vicky, don't. And how about this conservative suit? Don't it look strange?
Yeah, it does.
It's the most conservative one I've got. Y'all won't be disappointed the rest of the week. Let's read on. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. I wonder if anybody can understand what I'm trying to say here this evening. What I'm really trying to say at the heart of it is there are more Christians doing more damage by sounding a fool. They've allowed too many things of the world to creep into the church house, and they just run people off before you can even think about it. Or they cause spiritual division within their own families by opening themselves to demonic control, unaware. Brother Mike, that's hard to handle. You know, there's a reason why the word says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a sober thing to walk upright before God. Well, you don't seem to be very sober-minded all the time. You're awfully fun to hang out with. Well, there's a difference between being too heavenly-minded you're no earthly good and knowing when to shut your mouth. Sometimes it's a fine line. Am I doing okay? Am I preaching over your head here tonight? I went to Nauvoo, Illinois. A friend of mine went down to chase the Mormons. We really didn't go to chase the Mormons. We were just going to look at all of Nauvoo and old historic Nauvoo. And we walked into the Welcome Center. They had this statue of Jesus-ish. It's not the Savior I know. His eyes were hollow. They were just hollow. If Jesus were to look at you, I believe that one look from the face of Jesus could pierce even the toughest shell of a man and bring them to a place of understanding who he is. But these eyes are hollow, so I termed it the demon-possessed statue of Christ. I'm standing there looking at this thing, going, wow, that's not you, Lord. And this dear little lady, She reminded me of you, sis. She just walked up to me, and she was so bubbly. And she just walks up, and she goes, "Would you like to hear some words of our Lord as you gaze upon his likeness?" I said, "Sure, why not? I love the word." So I stand in there listening to everything that comes out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as I was looking at this thing, and you know, it's a bad thing when you got two Pentecostal preachers standing in the house of false doctrine. This verse came up. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love one for another." And my brother had been accidentally, falsely accusing some of our Baptist brothers and sisters. They were all just going to hell because they were so deceived. And I'm here to tell you that we're going to be really surprised when we get to heaven.
Amen. Yes, we are. Come on.
Because it's not going to be only Pentecostals. In fact, you know, Pentecostals, since we arrive late, that's why there's 15 minutes of silence in heaven. Then we get there and all heaven breaks loose. I started beaming from ear to ear, just smiling, just, you know, that Brother Mike smile that you know he's up to no good. And she didn't know any better. God bless her. And she said, "Oh, did you recognize that scripture?" I said, "Not only did I recognize it, honey, oh, we was discussing it on the way, how that the fact of the matter is that the world will be changed by our love for other people, not by our condemnation of them." And she goes, "Oh, well, do you know about the Book of Mormon?" For the next hour and a half, this dear saint of God, she loves the Lord, tried to convert me to Mormonism, and I tried to convert her to be a Pentecostal. Because my Bible still says if you add one jot or tittle, or you take away one jot or tittle, then your name will be blotted out of the book of life. And I don't want to add anything to the word of God. It's not necessary. So they've called us Christianese to keep us from using words like sanctification, to keep us from using words like redeemed. Why? Brother Mike, those are good words. I hear them in the church. What do they mean? Wow. You know, there's people sitting in this sanctuary tonight probably don't know what sanctification or redemption or holiness truly means. We have an idea. But we don't know that sanctification means we are set apart or consecrated as holy. I want to be sanctified tonight. I want to be set apart so that I can walk in the holies with my Savior and listen to His voice. I want to be able to be set apart so that the Holy Spirit can come and sup with me and me with Him. Why? So that I can get a word for you. I want to be sanctified. Redeemed. What a good word. Redeemed. You know what redeemed means, Grandma Patty? It means bought back. Literally. Bought back. We still do it in America today. If you go to Canada today, you've got to change your money into Canadian currency. When you come back from Canada, you've got to buy American currency. And when you change Canadian currency into American, you have redeemed your money. Well, let's just bring it back down to a simpler level than that. How many of y'all ever buy a can of pop? Have you ever noticed on the pop bottle it says Iowa 5 cents redemption? What that means is that they're going to buy that back from you because it has value and worth. Whether that stays or goes away, it's a perfect example of what Christ did to you in your sinful, backslidden condition. He went to a cross once for all and he died so that you could be redeemed from sin and brought in from the clutches of death, hell, and the grave. Holy. Christian vocabulary tonight. Holy. Holy means that you are a sanctified, redeemed vessel living as close to God as possible. Brother Mike, I don't have a suit to be holy. Don't take that. Brother Mike, I need a haircut. Well, I'm glad you think so, but it don't take that. Brother Mike, my mouth's not cleaned up. You know what? You come to Christ, you get redeemed, you get sanctified, and He'll make you holy. All those things you're thinking of in your mind, you got to fix. You don't have to fix those. He does that for you. Church, we don't fix those either. We let him do that.
That's right.
How else can we grow the kingdom of God but to let him do the work? That lady looked at me, that dear Mormon lady, and she goes, "Oh, so you know the word." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I know the word." She goes, "You're a scripturalist." What in the world do you mean? I don't know whether to be offended or hug you. She said, "You believe in the Bible, the King James Bible, or just the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, as being the only word of God?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do. Yes, ma'am, I do." I said, "You get a hug for that." And I hugged her, and she was like, "Why'd you hug her?" She was so sweet. "Hey, you know, this sister right here, she needs a hug all the time. I just want to hug her. You're one of those grandmas to the team that, honestly, we take you with you because you just being around you gives us some joy." "What are you saying all that, Brother Mike? Listen, let me bring it home to you real quick. I don't care what the world tries to shame you into to conform to their vocabulary or to their doctrine or to their tradition or to their formality. It doesn't make it right. The only thing that's right, the only thing that's true that you can build on tonight is the Word of God, period. And any other foundation is going to crack, it's going to break, and it's going to crumble within your feet. You're not going to be able to stand long if you're trying to mix the world with the church. In fact, what you're going to be finding is that more often than not, those who try to mix and make them work get pulled more to the world than they do to the church, because in their heart, they compromise their relationship with Jesus. And when the Spirit came to convict them, they didn't listen to the conviction, but rather were drawn away from it. Well, Brother Mike, how is it that we've allowed these things to creep into the church and nobody's preached on them? It's a good question. Let me help you with that. Pastor's got a full plate. Sometimes things slip in under the radar and we don't recognize it until it's almost too late. I'm here to tell you, God sent a little redheaded man to tell you that if you're using words like aura, words like karma, words like vibes, get them out of your language right now. They won't prosper you anything. But Brother Mike, they're just words. We don't really mean any offense by it. No. We never mean offense by it. Judas thought he was doing what was right. Wow. Did you just say, if I don't convert my language to that of a godly nature and I keep them words because I like those words, they make me feel socially acceptable, if I keep those words in my language, then I'm acting like Judas? Well, let me put it this way. If you hear the word and you don't do the word, then you're responsible for the word. Some of you have listened to my message tonight and you're even now fighting whether or not what I have to say is true or not. But I'm here to tell you that it's as true as I'm standing here. If you want to walk in the power and unction of the Holy Spirit, which our church is missing today, because our identity has become so ingrained with the world that we haven't realized our identity is heavenward. It isn't on this plane. There he goes talking about identity. I told you I'd be talking about identity all week. The reason we have no power in the house of God is because we've absolutely lost our identity in every way, shape, and form. And most churches are irrecognizable as compared to what the world is outside these doors. And I know this church is doing well, but I'm here to tell you that the way things get changed and the way things get started is one dear, well-meaning saint sneaks it in and says, "Well, it's acceptable." No, it's not acceptable. And if it's gone unrecognized, we need to get it changed. Well, Brother Mike, I understand what you're saying. Now, I'm going to be an evangelist right here. Some of y'all are giving your tithes just because it's something you've always done. My Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. If you're giving out a tradition, my brother or sister, you're not going to be as blessed as if you give, because you know God's going to just take it and bless it. I believe we got to start from somewhere. So for those of you that haven't been paying your tithes, start now. Start today. Start giving. Tithe. I'll tithe to you. I don't want your tithe. It's not mine. It don't belong to me. It absolutely has no business in my hand. Your tithe belongs in the local storehouse. In other words, your tithe belongs in Faith Independent Assembly of God if this be your local home church. You got a little something extra you want to send DHM? Thank you. You don't? Can you pray for us? You don't realize how many hours we spend in prayer for a service, and I need a right word of God for everything. So will you pray for us? That means more to us than all the money in the world. We're blessed, and I want you to be as blessed as we are, as every head is bowed in this place. How many of us have felt like the traditions of the church have just become tradition, and we're lacking in personal relationship? That's what I'm really talking about tonight. If your relationship isn't what it needs to be because you've allowed socially acceptable things to creep into your life, my brother or sister, today's the day to get it right. And it's simple to get it right. Here in a minute, we're just going to say, I'm sorry, Lord. If that's you, can you slip up a hand? Let me see that hand. It says, my relationship's not, I see those hands. I see those hands all over. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, amen. Can you pray with me tonight? Father God, I'm sorry. I haven't given you everything recently. From today forward, help me come closer to where you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, give it to him, church. Give it to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, sweep through this sanctuary. Carry these burdens. Carry your people. Let them feel that release even now. In Jesus' name, we bind every strife in the spirit, every variance in the spirit, every distraction, Lord. We release to you our very lives. Make of them what you will, Father God. I surrender. Jesus, I surrender.